Well, good evening this evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
Amen. May God be glorified. May our hearts be open unto Him in all things. I think the first thing I would like to do this evening is just clarify something that I said last evening about when I was preaching in a Baptist church, and there was a young man who just at the response to the illustration of a sacrifice versus a donation, just his response was, "Yai." And I realized afterwards that came across like that was a vocal expression and a distraction to the service. It was not. That took place back there in his section, and I found out about it afterwards, but it was not a distraction to the service. I just had a desire to make that clear. I was trying to make the point that his heart was not used to that level of sacrifice. But may God prepare our hearts for whatever He wants to do, as the board back here says. I also, in saying that, just want to remind us that in Peter, the Scriptures say, "If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God." And I'm not sure what all that means, but I know it means to always speak truth. And so I just wanted to clarify that. We want to have a clear heaven in all that we say here this evening. So we greet you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. What we have in mind for this evening is an evening of teaching. Not really preaching, but we want to teach on a subject. There is a subject that I would like to address this evening. Just teach according to God's Word. It's the subject of authority. I'd like to look at this subject from God's perspective tonight and from the Word of God. I believe this is a subject that needs to be taught on a regular basis for several reasons. One of them is because we forget. Sometimes very conveniently, amen? Especially teenagers, that can happen. But situations do come up and relationships get strained. And sometimes out of frustration, sometimes out of confusion, we forget the order that God has established to give direction and protection in our life. Another reason that I think this needs to be taught on a regular basis is because children grow up. You know, there are some things that we believe earnestly, and we teach them to our children as God brings them into our home. And there seems to be an understanding there. But you know, when the older children move on and the younger children come up, there's a point where we realize that we've never really sat down with our younger children and studied this thing with them. And just opened the Word of God to consider it and look at the Scriptures concerning it to develop convictions in their heart, not only that we believe it, but an understanding of why we believe it. That this thing is of God. So may the Lord be with us tonight as we consider this subject. I also want to say that I really don't believe this is a real popular subject. And there's some reasons for that as well. And one of them is simply because many people don't want to be under authority, so they really don't want to hear about it. Another reason is many people in authority don't want the responsibility that comes with it. They want the position, but they don't want the responsibility that comes with it, so they don't want to hear about it either. And it seems like whenever the subject of authority comes up, the focus almost immediately turns to being under authority. Are you under authority? Well, I don't think that's God's heart. When the subject of authority comes up, there's just as much, if not more, focus on being in authority as there is to being under authority. But there is a responsibility to both of those. Another reason that I believe this is somewhat of a touchy subject is, as people, we tend to connect certain subjects with certain people, don't we? I mean, you'll hear expressions like this. Well, that's his thing. That's just his thing. He's always talking about that. That's his thing. That's not my thing. That's his thing. Well, I don't want to consider authority that way this evening. We want to consider it that this is God's thing. I'm almost going to say it this way. Leave me out of it. Let's look into the Word. If it's not God's thing, if it's not in the Bible, if it's not God's heart, then hey, let's drop it. Amen? I mean, this thing has caused a lot of relationship struggles. I mean, this thing's been a challenge in homes. This subject has been a challenge in marriages. This thing has been a tremendous challenge in churches. This thing has been a challenge in the workplace. If it's not God's will, let's just get rid of this thing and live in peace. But if it is in the Word of God, if it is God's heart, then let's bow our hearts and honor God this evening. That's the way we want to consider authority tonight, that it is ordained of God for us. It is God's thing. I was just thinking, if God Himself stood here before us all tonight to speak to us on authority, what would He say? What would He say to you youth? God Himself standing here to speak to you youth. What would He say to me as a father? What would He say to me as a pastor? God standing before us. Well, I want you to know tonight, I know some things that God would say because they are written in His Word. And that's what the Word of God is. It's what God would say. It's what God said. And so we want to consider tonight what is written in the Word of God. I don't know how many of you know the definition that Brother John D. Martin gives on the commandments of God. But Brother John D. Martin defines the commandments of God this way. This is the commandments of God. God speaking. If you knew everything that I know, this is what you would do. That's a good meditation. That's a good definition of the commandments of God. God speaking. If you knew everything I know, this is what you would do. Well, I'm going to tell you tonight, we don't know everything that God knows, but we do know what He told us to do. And so sometimes it takes faith to honor the subject of authority. We may not know everything God knows, but if we did, this is what God would do. And so I want to encourage us tonight, let's just move forward in faith and in humility and bow our hearts before the God of heaven. Let's have a word of prayer. Before we begin, oh Lord, we pray this evening that You would sanctify our time together tonight, that we would be encouraged, that we would be convicted, that the anointing of God would be upon us, oh God. Father, I pray that You would cleanse me of all of me and my things. And bring us all the way to You and Your thing. God, we pray in this short time that we're together here this evening. Father, if You're here, if we honor Your Word, if Your Spirit bears witness with our spirit, what a good time this will be. Father, we pray that You would meet with us. Pass us not by, O God, but meet with us. Bring clarity, bring understanding, bring conviction, and bring glory to Your worthy name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think I want to begin here by defining authority. What it is that we're talking about. I want to consider for a little bit here a definition of authority. Before we actually get into some scriptures, I think the first thing I'd like to say is actually from the Scriptures, because in the Word of God, the word authority and the word power are the same word. We just want to have a teaching here tonight. We want to learn God's heart. There are actually two or three words for power in the Scriptures, but I'll give you some examples of where it's used exactly the same. When Jesus said He had power on earth to forgive sins, that's the same word as authority. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. That's the same word as authority. This is the subject we're considering tonight. Jesus, when He spoke of His life, when He said, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. Same word as authority. In other words, the power of God is behind the authority that He has given to men. It's the same thing. It's not a man-made agenda. Authority is of God. And it's the power of God that backs it up. Authority is not just a position. I would like to define it this way. Maybe I should just write it down up here. The way I would like to define authority, I'll write it up here. That way it'll be before us. Authority is the responsibility from God to serve, protect. See how I got this written here? Provide for. And give direction to a specific people. Now we'll just read it all together here. This is what we're talking about this evening. This is the way I would like to define authority. The responsibility from God to serve, protect, provide for, and give direction to a specific people. Now, I want us to know that the main part of this definition, I'm going to just underline right here, that it's from God. It's the responsibility from God. This is not a man-made thing. This is not enforced by man's power. The power of God is behind this thing. I want us to notice that it's for a specific people. No one has authority over everyone. That seems right, doesn't it? God gave authority to a husband over his wife. Not all wives, just his wife. God zeroes in. God gives a father authority over his family. Not all families, but his family. He has responsibility before God. A pastor has responsibility over a local fellowship. Not all fellowships. And what this does is this takes away from a bossy attitude in authority. You know, when someone has a bossy spirit, they're bossy to everyone, right? When someone has a controlling spirit, they're willing to control anyone. They're willing to take over anyone's business. This is not the authority that is from God. God has a burden for a specific people, and He gives authority to someone over that specific need. There are scriptures that would back this up. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And there is room for balance and balancing Scripture with Scripture in all of these points that I'm going to make. But I'm going to make another point here about it is a responsibility. Authority is a responsibility more than a position. And you are going to answer to God for the responsibility that God gives you. In the Scriptures, this would be borne out when God holds pastors accountable. It's them as though they would give an account for the flock. They are responsible for the flock. But with this responsibility now comes the power to get the job done. God is not unrighteous. He's not going to require something of someone that they cannot do. God will never require something of someone or hold you accountable for something without giving you the power to do it. And in authority, often the power comes by the position. So authority is not just a position. Authority is a responsibility. The position is the power that God gives you to get the job done. You see, God is jealous over a certain people. God is jealous over your family, fathers. God is not jealous over giving you a position. He's jealous over your family, and He gives this position and this responsibility to oversee this family. The position is only to fulfill the responsibility. Do you get that? That's good. Let that soak in. The position of authority is only the power to fulfill the responsibility. It's not a position to use others to fulfill a personal agenda. That's not bringing care that God has to a certain amount of people. That's just filling an ego. A position is not to make us look good or gain our end or build our reputation or use others to serve us. The whole purpose of authority is to oversee some people that God is very jealous over. It's not to have them do things that we ourselves should be doing and take advantage of them. If that's what authority is, or if that's what it becomes, or if that's what we change it into, brothers and sisters, we make authority very, very ugly. We make God's will for anyone who is under that authority very ugly. We make God's will very unattractive for our children and the whole flock of God. God's will becomes ugly when leadership is so into their position that they no longer care for the flock. They care for their position. That's not God's heart. I wish all leadership would get a hold of this thing. I wish church leadership would get a hold of this thing. That's what the Scripture says. Not lording it over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. We are here to minister to the flock in God's behalf. I mean, take a look at the example of the highest authority that we have. It's Jesus Christ. The highest possible authority on the earth. And what was His attitude? To serve. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And to give His life a ransom for many. That's the concern that God has for a specific people. And when authority gets a hold of the whole purpose of this thing is to oversee with God's heart and burden for a specific people and minister to that need, authority becomes a beautiful thing. That is the authority, I believe, that is from God. That is the motive and the heart of authority, to serve. So we have this definition, the responsibility from God to serve, protect, provide for, and give direction to a specific people. Now those people that God is jealous over, the ones that are under that authority, need to feel that love and care and concern. But I want you to know, to be under authority is a responsibility as well. You know, if you don't cooperate, you make the authority that God gave someone very, very hard. You make them take measures that they don't want to take to fulfill what God has given them to do. And so, there's a responsibility in being under authority
as well. I would like to turn now to some scriptures. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 55. In Isaiah 55, verses 3 and 4, very interesting here. There's a beautiful picture of authority. It's like the whole picture is in a verse here. I'll just read part of this. Incline your ear in verse 3 and come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. See, there's a burden for some people here. You see it all through this passage. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. God has a burden for these people. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Now verse 4. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Look at this verse. This is a picture of authority. All the things that are up here are in this verse. Behold, look at this thing. In other words, I, God. Authority is from God. This is God doing this. Behold, I, God, have given him, David, putting someone in authority. This authority is from God for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. This is a beautiful picture that authority is from God. But again, the people under authority, they need a witness that they need to feel like this thing is from God. They need to feel protected. They need to feel covered. They need to feel like this thing is going to come out right. But look at this verse. Behold, I, God, have given him, David, for a witness to the people. The people need a witness that this thing is of God. That this thing is going to come out right. And here it is. God did this for a witness to the people. That this is of God. This is the way God was going to lead them. I believe that's beautiful. People under authority need to feel the grace of God upon them by the authority that God placed over them. Now, I appreciate scriptures that when they're explaining something, they say, now this is like something. Whenever the scriptures say that something is like something, you're just about to get an insight on an explanation from the Word of God. Maybe the natural to teach the spiritual. Or to get a lesson reduced or simplified to an illustration that you can understand. You know, we see that happen often, like the kingdom of heaven is like. You know, you're just about to learn something about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like hid treasure. Amen? I mean, we need to believe the Word of God. That's what the kingdom of God is like. That's how much value there is in it. I mean, sell everything you got so that you can get a hold of the kingdom of God. I think the only difference between the kingdom of heaven and hid treasure, at least for me, is that I can't ever find that hid treasure. But I can find the kingdom of God. God will always reveal himself to a searching heart. So the kingdom of heaven is like hid treasure in a field. And also, when the scripture speaks of being members one of another, it says in 1 Corinthians 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So we're learning something about Christ here. How all the bodies that are members of the body that are different work together. That's one aspect of Christ. So I want to turn now to Mark chapter 13. And I want to look at a passage here that gives us an insight, I believe, on authority. Chapter 13, verse 34, tells us what the Son of Man is like. It says here, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey. Now this is what the Son of Man is like. Who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. This is a very interesting verse. This is what the Son of Man is like. He came down to heaven. He established His kingdom, and now He's going to be gone for a while. That's what it's like. That's what the coming of Jesus Christ is like. But when He left, He gave authority to His servants. His kingdom was established, and He wanted it to continue to flow while He's gone. And so He gave authority to His servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Now, when He gave authority to His servants, He didn't make them a king. He just gave authority to His servants. They're still servants. Those in authority need to remember that. But then He gave to every man his work. And it just, the way this flows, it just shows that there is something for everyone to do. He gave to every man his work, but it's under authority. He gave authority to His servants and to every man his work. And that's what it says in 1 Corinthians 12 about the members in the body. God hath placed the members, every one of them. Every one of us have been placed in the body. And then the Scripture says, as it hath pleased Him. God's pretty pleased about where He put you in the body. Are you pleased? Or are you discontented? God gave to every man His work. He put them under authority. And He commanded the porter to watch. That's just the work that God gave that man. That is what God did. That's what the Son of Man is like. But what does man do? Man looks around at this setup and he challenges this thing. He sees a servant over here with authority. And he says, who do you think you are? You ever hear that? That's what man does. You hear statements like, I would rather have his job. That's more my gift than where I am at. And so many times, men, people, children move out of their place to do another work that they would rather do that God did not give them. God hath placed the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. And when you move out of your place thinking that your gift is over here instead of where you're at, then you are out of your place. That's what the Bible would call it. And I want you to know tonight that if you are not in your place, I want you to listen to this, I'm going to challenge you here. If you are not in your place, then your place is empty. And God put you there with a work to do. Even if you are doing someone else's job really well, even if you're doing someone else's job even better than they could do, if you are out of your place, then your place is empty. And what God does is He looks down at the job that He gave you to do, and no one's there. I just want you to know tonight, God is not impressed no matter how well you are doing someone else's job. Let's turn to Proverbs. I just want to read a verse there. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 8. Proverbs 27, verse 8 says, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. I'm going to read it again. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Now, a nest is a place of safety. It's a place of protection. And when you wander from that place where God placed you for protection and for blessing, you lose the protection. And you lose the blessing. And you never know what all is out there. I have over here just a little illustration that I'd like to make. Do you know what this is? Does anybody know what this is?
Yeah, it's a skeleton. Do you know what kind of animal that it was? Anyone? No, it's not a deer. It's a sheep. It's a sheep. I brought this here because we have a brother in our fellowship at home that is a shepherd. And he has some sheep, and this is one of them. This sheep wandered from safety. It wandered from its nest. I'll just use the scripture. Where safety was. And there were coyotes waiting. And when the shepherd found the sheep, it was after the coyotes had found him. I just trust that somehow God could use this to speak to your heart this evening. As a bird wandereth from her nest, so is a man that is out of his place. You lose your safety. You lose your protection. I would like to look now to some scriptures that just simply give God's heart concerning authority that He gave to servants. And let's remember that the power of God is backing up this authority that He gave. Let's just turn to Ephesians chapter 5. This passage of scripture has to do with marriage, has to do with wives. But you know, many times the scriptures say things more clear, even stronger than what we remember. And we go back and read it. Has that ever happened to you? And sometimes I'll make the exclamation almost. Whoa, that says it stronger than I remembered. Let's read God's heart in verse 22 through 24. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now that's quite a submission. For the husband is the head of the wife. This is of God. There's the power of God backing this up. Even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, now that's quite the subjection. As the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. Now this is what God has ordered. This is what God has ordained. This is the order that God has set up. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, it talks about the husband and the wife being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. See, this thing is bigger than just whether you're going to decide to obey it or not. If you don't, your prayers are hindered. Now let's turn to Titus chapter 2. Just want to read verses 4 and 5. This again is for the wives, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You see, this thing is bigger than just whether you decide to be in your place or not. If we ignore the authority that God gave to the man in a marriage, the word of God is blasphemed. And it's not just wives that blaspheme the word of God. Amen? It could be children. God gave direction for us all. Now I want to just stop here, and I don't know if you can see this. I want to make another point up here. Before we read the scriptures on children, I would like to just establish the headship order that God has established. We would all agree, would we not, that God is clear at the top. What would be next in the headship order? Christ. Absolutely. God, Christ. What is next? Possibly the church. I'm going to say man. I'm pulling this out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That the head of Christ is God, and the head of man is Christ. And what's next after man? Woman. What would be after woman as God ordained it? Probably children, I would say yes. And what would be next? I mean, if you exit children, you kind of enter into the animal world, right? The beasts of the field. God hath put all things under His feet. And so down here, I'm just going to write beast. Would we all agree that this is God's order? God did this. This is a very sacred thing. But I want us to know that it's a sacred thing. And if we turn this thing around, we blaspheme the Word of God, which is exactly what the devil has done. What I want to do is take us now to a scene in the Garden of Eden. Now, in the Garden of Eden, there weren't any children, so I'm just going to erase children here. And I want you to realize what the devil did. Where did he go? He went to the serpent. He went right to the lowest level of what God has established. And where did the beast go? Right to the woman. Where did the woman go? Right to the man. In diametrically opposed to God's established order. It's almost like this proves how holy and how sacred this is because it was so ignored by the devil. This out of order is what created the fall of man. Amen? I mean, when we exit God's order, and hey, if children would have been here, I really am fully convinced if there were teenagers in the Garden of Eden, the beast would have gone to them. And from them to their mother. This is not God's order. This is wrong. This is blaspheming the Word of God. May this soak in. I believe this is very significant information. Let's turn now to the Scriptures on children. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. In verse 20 and 21, it says this. Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. This is an established order in all things. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. It's just interesting to me, in these passages of Scripture, God presents authority from both ends. Children, obey. Fathers, love your children. Make authority beautiful. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Chapter 6, verses just 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And again, the other side of authority, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Don't you see God's heart for children here? Don't you see the whole purpose of authority here? God is jealous over the children. God is not interested in filling some father's ego trip because he has a position. This is the authority that God bestows upon men. Now I want to turn to Romans chapter 1. I would like for us all to turn here. I have just a couple of verses that I would like to read. I want to show you something. This is a very black list of sin. God is making it very clear. In verse 29, God has given these people over to a reprobate mind. These are the people that God has just given up on. Given over to a reprobate mind. Look at this list. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. Not just have a little. Full of envy. Murder. Debate. Deceit. Malignity. Whisperers. Backbiters. Haters of God. Despiteful. Proud. Boasters. inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Look at the list this thing is in. This is the list of people that God just gives up, gives over to a reprobate mind. I just want to challenge us this evening. We always want to balance Scripture with Scripture. And I encourage you to do that. Sometimes we need to do that. But I want you to see God's heart here. If we want to look at some more Scriptures, let's look at employees. Again, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're just going to look at God's heart here and what He has established. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 through 9. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. This scripture is lost in America. This is how you're supposed to serve your employer, even the froward ones. In singleness of heart, just like you'd serve Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not unto men. This is the way you're supposed to work for your employer. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And then it paints the other side of authority. Now, you masters, do the same things to them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. God doesn't care if you're the master. He gave you a job with a concern for those people that are working for you. And He's using you as a minister to reach into their life. We can read in Titus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. We're just reading these scriptures because it's the heart of God. Titus chapter 2, verse 9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things. Not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. This is a holy thing with God. When we aren't honest and give our all to our employer, we blaspheme the Word of God. That's how holy this is before God. And you know, really, we can read lots of scriptures on authority, but really, if you think about it, authority is everywhere, is it not? It's all around us. I mean, even in the ball teams. You think about it. Ball teams have a captain, or they have a coach to give direction so that they can get the most out of the players, the most out of the team, teaching them how to work together. That's just the way it works. Even in the games that are played, what do you have? You have an umpire. Or you have a referee. Someone has to be there to call the shots and to say, that's okay, or that's not okay, or to blow the whistle on an error. That's just the way it works. I mean, if you leave all that up to the crowd, you're going to have chaos. Authority is all around us, even in the ships that sail. Amen? I mean, there's a captain to the ship who is in charge of the operations of the ship. In the army, there's a general. And the things delegated out, you know, the lieutenants down to the privates, it's just in order. There's authority there. And anyone who's been in the army will let you know very clearly, you don't question your authority. It's interesting to me that the army seems to understand that better than the Church of God. In the government, there's policemen. There's a speed limit. It seems like authority is all around us, and it seems like we accept it all. No problem, except two areas. Two areas where authority is challenged the most. And it's our churches and our homes. Isn't that interesting? And it's God that established it there. Those two places are two of the dearest things to the very heart of God. And those are the two places where authority is challenged the most. In our homes and in our churches. It's almost like the devil is just working backwards here on the most sacred things to God. He's going to hit the hold.
Yeah, it's okay if an army has authority. Everybody accepts it. It's okay if the government has some authority. But if your pastor tries to tell you what to do, then who does he think he is? Or if your dad wants to speak into your life, he doesn't understand. This is of God. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. I want to read just a couple of scriptures here concerning the church. I have a few things that I want to share about that. Trust that we'll not go too long here. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, it just says, "Remember them which have the rule over you." You know, if you look that up in the Greek, it doesn't help you if you want more liberty. That thing means what it says, even more. "Who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Verse 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." This is established by God. And remember, the word authority and the word power. "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." It's the same word. The power of heaven is backing up what God has done. Now, it's God's will for children to be under their parents' authority. That is their your place of protection. To be taught, to be discipled, to grow in grace. And I want to tell you something this evening. It is not God's will. It is heresy. It is contrary to the order that God has established for children to set the direction for a church. That is blaspheming the Word of God. God has ordained men and given them this job with the power of heaven backing them up. And I see this happening all the time, over and over again. I was taking a class one time, and the teacher there was an African American. He was an older gentleman, and the class was full of mostly youth. And I remember one thing that he said. He said, "The Bible says that there is nothing new under the sun." He said, and I know that's right, because the Bible said it. But he said, if there was something new under the sun, do you know what it would be? He got them all thinking. And they didn't know the answer, and so he said, if there was something new under the sun, he said, you are. You just got here. He said, I'm going to give you some wisdom, and I want you to listen. There are men who have lived here and left legacies and wisdom behind after a full life. There are men here who have been here ahead of you and had experience after experience, seen history repeat itself and leave wisdom. And you just got here. And you have all the answers. Isn't that interesting? I mean, you just landed, haven't even got off the plane yet. And you're ready to come out here and tell us how to run this airport. I'm not trying to make fun of what God is doing. God works in the lives of young people. But it's your place. It's your calling to sit and to be discipled and to be taught and to prepare for what God has for the future and to learn from those who have gone before. It's all through the Scriptures. I want to insert a little self-examination here. The subject of authority stands in direct conflict with an unbroken will. An unbroken will always struggle. An unbroken will always chafe under authority. But a broken person, and it's so scriptural to be broken. It's so unscriptural to be unbroken. A submitted will, a servant heart, I don't know if you ever noticed this. They do not have a problem with authority. I've observed this for years. A broken heart, a submitted will, a servant heart has no problem with authority. It's a blessing to them. So I just want to ask you, where are you at tonight? Are you under authority? What would God say of you? Balancing all Scripture with Scripture. Taking your situation into consideration. What would God say of you? And let's go on God's opinion tonight. I mean, that's all that counts anyway. Amen? I mean, I've heard it said that there's three ways to look at yourself. You can see yourself as you see you. Or you can see yourself as others see you. Or you can see yourself as God sees you. And I'll just tell you tonight, the least accurate of those three is the first one. More accurate is the way others see you. But the most accurate and the only one that counts is the last one. What would God say of you? Would He say you are under authority? You know, I don't know anything that reveals an unbroken will faster or more clearly than authority. Almost always, with an unbroken will, there's a conflict with authority. Even accusations. Authority is often accused by an unbroken will of having an agenda. You have an agenda. I just hear that. But let me challenge you with something this evening. Sometimes the authority does have an agenda. I'm going to acknowledge that. And that is not good. But many times, it's not the authority that has the agenda. The authority has some responsibility and they're trying to fulfill it by God's grace. But it's not the authority that has the agenda. It's the one under authority that has the agenda. I've seen this thing happen so many times. That's when they say, who do you think you are? It's the unbroken will, so often, that has the agenda. I'd like to take the mask right off of that thing tonight, simply to reveal an unbroken will. This needs repentance. This needs breaking. When the will is broken, when the heart is willing to be taught and willing to be led, I just want to tell you, youth, tonight, that's when your eyes are opened and you begin to see God's will for your life instead of your own will. And how it comes, how God brings it to pass. So I want to encourage you tonight, balance Scripture with Scripture. Pray. Make yourself vulnerable. Develop the mindset that you need authority. You need to be led. I'm going to continue to challenge you here a little bit. Authority should be one of the biggest things in your life. That's quite a statement, but let me tell you why I say that. It's because you need direction in so many areas. I mean, think about it. Your music. Your friends you choose. The books you read, your computer, your cell phone, the social media, your activities, your appearance, your emotion. I would encourage you, put all of these things under authority. You just landed. You need some direction from someone who's been here, who's seen history repeat itself. I've seen several things just happen over and over again. And it's amazing. It's so accurate, it's a predictable thing of what is going to happen. I want you to know tonight that peer pressure is not your authority. Honor the authority that God gave you. I want to encourage you tonight, partner with your father. Partner with your parents. Anything that damages your relationship with your God-given authority is not good for you. Ask your parents, is there something that I need to change? Like what was written up here earlier. Anything. Lord, anything. Ask your authority, are you happy with me? Communicate with them. You know, I mean, don't be a robot. Share your heart. That's when they can give direction and speak into your life. They need to know what's stirring in there. Communicate. There's a tremendous responsibility in being under authority. I just want to challenge you in those areas. Now I've got a few more scriptures and points that I would like to make here. I want you to be impressed tonight with the weight of the responsibility that God has placed on your fathers and on your pastors. There's a tremendous burden and a weight upon them that you may not feel. But I want to go to the scriptures and consider them. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. This is a very interesting scripture to me. I'm just going to read a few verses here, maybe 9 verses. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts, and set him for their watchman. Now this is interesting, because the people now made a choice, and chose a watchman. But God honored that choice. You find that over in verse 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. The people chose him, but God was right there. God did it. Verse 3. If when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Now I just want to challenge us, what does that mean? When God requires blood from an authority that He gave a responsibility to, and the watchman doesn't speak when he sees a warning, His blood, what does that mean? Shall be upon that man's head. Does that mean that no big deal? I mean, God will give him a spanking, but then he goes to heaven anyway? Is that what that means? How serious of a thing is this? So thou, O son of man, verse 7, I have set thee a watchman into the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Many times the flock doesn't realize that when a pastor speaks, it's from God. Warn them from me. That's from God. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Now I want you to notice this next verse, because it says it a little more clear than his blood I will require. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Now it's sounding even a little bit more serious than that his blood is going to be on your head. If you warned them, you just delivered your soul. You see, this is a heavy thing that God has placed upon the heart of your father to give you direction. And he's not going to give you direction just to keep his head clean and now he's okay with God because he did go ahead and tell you. That's not the burden. That doesn't work for me as a pastor. I'm not interested in just clearing the blood from off my head so I can go to heaven. I'm concerned about the flock. I want the flock to prosper.
God puts that burden on a man's heart, and it's a heavy thing. And sometimes I think it's necessary that the people under that authority realize what God has laid upon that man. I want to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 33. I'm just going to read a verse here. Paul said, giving none offense, verse 32, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. I don't want to be offensive to anyone. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. This is the burden that comes when God places responsibility on a man. Paul said, I could wish myself accursed if the people would just get saved. This makes authority beautiful. It's an accurate representation of the heart of God who is jealous over His people. There are other passages in Ezekiel that say very similar, the same things. I want to say something about this sheep, the shepherd that we have in our fellowship. He said he was watching his sheep the other day, and they were together, and there was a coyote came into the fenced area. And the coyote was standing there just watching the sheep. Now we know what that coyote's thinking. The shepherd knew what that coyote was thinking. But those sheep seemed unalarmed. They just kept grazing. And the shepherd said it was such a burden on his heart that he couldn't get the attention of those sheep to warn them of danger. They were just relaxed. And I just want to tell you tonight, I don't know if you can comprehend what happens in the heart of a pastor when he sees the people, when he sees the youth taking part in things that are the voices of this world, when I know good and well that is a devastating thing. I know what the devil has in mind, just like I know what that coyote had in mind when he was standing there looking at those sheep. And when we give warning, when we plead, and it's unheeded, I don't know if you can comprehend what goes on in God's heart and in the heart of those that God has laid that authority on. I'm just going to make a plea tonight. Authority is of God. God has a burden for the flock. We're not trying to lord it over anyone, but we're trying to fulfill the responsibility that God has placed upon our lives. We need to be closing. I want to turn to a couple of scriptures, maybe just one here, in Acts chapter 9. I want to look at this. This is such an interesting passage of scripture. This is Paul on the Damascus Road. This is an account that is probably unique from all others, in that in this account, there is a conversation that takes place between heaven and earth. I mean, the third heaven where God is, and earth. Paul hears an audible voice, clear from heaven, and he answers. And there's a conversation going back between earth and heaven. That's a marvelous thing. Where I want to break in here is on verse 6. Paul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord answered him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now I want you to know what the mentality is of people today. They don't want to hear from a man. They want to hear from God. I see that independent spirit coming out all over everywhere. And it's not right. I mean, who do you think you are? I want to hear from God. But that's what happened here. Paul had Jesus Christ in conversation in heaven. Lord, don't send me to a man down here. What do you want me to do? God, I'm willing to do anything. I won't even argue. I'll give it all that I have. Just you tell me. Don't let me go to a man. And God said, no, you go to Damascus and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And Paul obeyed. But Paul got his direction from a fallible man. From a man who makes mistakes. God does this. God lays authority and wisdom in men. God is able to bring it into your life. If you're willing to put faith in Him. I want to give you this thought about the church at Ephesus. Then we'll bring this to a close. The church at Ephesus had lost their first love. Amen? Problems in Ephesus. Problems so big that if Ephesus didn't repent of this leaving their first love, then they would lose their place in the kingdom of God. God said, I'm going to remove your candlestick out of its place if you don't repent. That's a pretty important message, wouldn't you say? Now, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, if that important message is so important to the Ephesians that they're going to lose their place in the kingdom of God, then send the message to the Ephesians. But God did not do that. What did God do? He sent the message to an old man out on the Isle of Patmos, an exile, can't even get off of the island. A message so important that the Ephesians have to get it. God told John on the Isle of Patmos, He said, John, you write this letter down and send it to the Ephesians. And God hid Himself in that letter. You know what John wrote? It's written in the Word of God. John wrote, I, John, to the seven churches of Asia. Now that letter was from God. 100% from God. But God hid Himself in that letter. I, John, to the seven churches. And John was in exile. Now you're going to have to send that thing with a mailman. I mean, he may not even be a believer. And it's going to have to sail on a sinkable ship. Why does God do that? I just want to assure you tonight, put faith in God. God is able to make the mail go through and get all the way to you. And when that letter got to Ephesus, it still was not to the people. Who was it to? The angel, the messenger, the bishop, the pastor. And so the pastor stood up and he told the fellowship, we have left our first love. And I could just hear the congregations today. Who do you think you are? I have a testimony. And all the things that would come up, questioning, where did you get that letter? I, John, to the seven churches of Asia. I could just hear the congregation, who's John? I want to hear from God. Who's this John? I want to hear from God. I tell you, that letter was from God. 100%. Don't let a message from a man. Don't let a word from a pastor. Don't let a word from a father deceive you that you have not heard from God. This is God's plan for authority. The mail will go through. You know, sometimes we need to pray. I thought about Daniel. Remember, the prince of Persia hindered him for 3 weeks. But Daniel just continued to pray. I want to encourage you, youth, pray for God's will. There may be hindrances, but the mail will go through. God is faithful. So I want to close with a reminder of a man that Jesus said this about him. He said, I have not seen this great a faith in all of Israel. You know who that was? It was the man who understood authority. It takes faith to understand authority. It was the man who said, I also am a man under authority. He understood that Jesus, His place of authority, you just speak the word and it'll happen. It takes faith to understand authority. I want to encourage you in that tonight. I want to challenge you just with these questions. Where are you at this evening? Are you under authority? What would God say? Balancing all Scripture with Scripture.
What would God say of you?
Your music, your friends, your computer, your appearance,
are they under authority? Are you doing something that you know your authority is not clear with? What would God say of you?
Is your peer pressure a greater influence in your life than your God-given authority? Is your will a greater influence in your heart than your God-given authority?
What would God say of you this evening? May God have His way. I think I want to encourage us to stand. Let's take the Christian hymnary. Turn to page 517. Want to open the altar, I believe. We're here to do business with God. God is willing to work in our lives. God has established an order. It's sacred. We dare not blaspheme or neglect it. May God have His way as we sing 517.
Shall I come just as I am?
As you are, just as you are, come. Father, you have such a beautiful plan, and we are so needy. We need direction. Father, we don't know everything that you know, but if we did, this is what we would do. Follow your commandments. Receive your word, even though it come through another man. Father, help us to balance Scripture with Scripture, that we be not deceived. Draw us to yourself. Bless these youth that are here. We just want to lift up our prayer, Father, beseeching your blessing to be upon them. Guide them this week. Let them not be deceived. Let them not be confused, but give them purpose of heart. Father, that when this week is over, they return home, their parents, their friends would say, God has moved in their life. Father, give them direction. Bless them. We pray that when we come to the end of life's way, that you would grant us a home in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. There are in this building tonight two spirits. There are. I know there are. One spirit is a rebellious spirit, and one spirit is a submitted spirit. The one spirit is going to be given power. The other spirit will be robbed of its power. The one spirit is going to heaven to live with God someday. The other spirit is going to hell. Brother Dale's right. My heart thrills at the young man and the young lady that says, teach me, help me, show me. My heart aches for the young man that says, don't talk to me. I know what I'm doing. Remember, I talked about this morning that little that rises up in you sometimes. That little is just the start, the beginning of woes. Thank you, Brother Dale, for so clearly giving us a picture of the truth.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.